ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 This is Srimad Bhagavatam. Is the amplification all right?
Can everyone hear? Can you hear us?
Is it all right? A little up, but it'll start to feed back. Okay, that is better. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 6th chapter, text 5. Prahlad Maharaj said, Tato yateta kushala shemaya bhavamashita. Shuriram paurusham yavam navipadyeta pushka. Therefore, while in material existence, bhavamashita, a person fully competent to distinguish wrong from right must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life. As long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by drinking. That's better. Hare Krishna. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj at the beginning of this chapter, Komara Atreid Pragya. The word Pragya refers to one who is experienced and who can distinguish right from wrong. Such a person should not waste his energy and valuable human lifetime simply working like a cat or dog to develop his economic condition. For one word in this verse, there are two readings, bhavamashrita and bhayamashrita. But accepting the meaning of either will bring one to the same conclusion. Bhayamashrita indicates that the materialistic way of life is always fearful because at every step there is danger. Materialistic life is full of anxieties and fear. Similarly, accepting the reading Bhavamashrita, the word bhavam refers to unnecessary trouble and problems. For want of Krishna consciousness, one is put into bhavam, being perpetually embarrassed by birth, death, old age, and disease. Thus, one is surely full of anxieties. Human society should be divided into a social system of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras, but everyone can engage in devotional service. If one wants to live without devotional service, his status as a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra certainly has no meaning. It is said, Sthana Prashta Patanthyavaha. Whether one is in a higher or lower division, one certainly falls down for want of Krishna consciousness. A sane man, therefore, is always fearful of falling from his position. This is a regular principle. One should not fall from his exalted position. The highest goal of life can be achieved as long as one's body is stout and strong. We should therefore live in such a way that we keep ourselves always healthy and strong in mind and intelligence so that we can distinguish the goal of life from a life full of problems. A thoughtful man must act in this way, learning to distinguish right from wrong and thus attain the goal of life. Om Jalatimirandasya Giranjana Sharakaya Shri Chaitanya Manasvatam Sthapitam Vena Bhutale Sthiram Rupa Kadamayam Tadadhi Sarvadantitam Toi Teta Kushala Kshemaya Pavanashutaha Shriram Purusham Yadam Vadisadvita Kushala. Ta means therefore. So therefore refers to the previous verses. Essentially, Prahlad Maharaj is telling his friends that working for economic development is a useless waste of time. Sukham achyantikam daitya. No one tries very hard for suffering, and yet suffering comes on its own. So happiness will also come on its own, according to the rules of destiny.
Therefore,
one shouldn't work very hard. For sense gratification, for economic development,
they just
result in the loss of time and energy with no actual profit. Our life should be spent for developing our relationship with the lotus feet of Mukunda, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so that in this life we can be happy, and at the end of life go back home, back to Godhead. The whole project of happiness based on bodily identification and material comfort is a life of illusion and ultimately a life of suffering.
Krishna, an intelligent person. Shemaya. Tovyateta Krishna. Shemaya Bhavanashita. Shriram Purusham Yadav.
As long as the body has still got some energy in it, we should use it for the right purpose. Fools think that I'll use my youth for sense gratification and economic development, and my old age for Krishna consciousness, for karmic activities. By the time they've reached old age, they have very little left. And whatever little they have left is already spoiled by a whole life dedicated to Maya. And now they think that I'll spend my youth for sense gratification and economic development, my old age for Krishna consciousness. But how do you switch gears after having dedicated my whole life for Maya? How do I suddenly switch it over to Krishna, to Krishna's consciousness? It's very difficult. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj told his friends, Omara atre pakya dharma bhagavatam. Actually, from the age of 5, one should seriously take to the discipline of Krishna consciousness. Some water here. And he'll describe in the coming verses how otherwise one's life is spoiled. If you get 100 years, 50 years are spent sleeping, and then out of that so many years in childhood spent playing games and sports,
so many years spent in the mating game, looking for a suitable arrangement. So many years wasted in hard work for family maintenance. And at the end, so many years wasted rocking. And then where's the time for Krishna consciousness? The life is lost. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is advising his friends that your demonic fathers have dedicated their lives to this project of Maya, of illusory happiness, and then hire these teachers to engage you in the same project. But you shouldn't go down this path. You should take up the path of spiritual realization and devotional service. Pramasokyam talentam, by which you can make kirtan actually successful. The modern civilization is a misdirected civilization, and its education system is a system of nations that falsely claims the name education. It simply trains people to be employees, working hard for getting money to pay the rent and pay for family expenses, and work hard and again work hard and still work hard, and at the end die and take another body. So this is a waste of the human life. Especially, we see practically that Indian civilization means Brahminical civilization, to use the higher intelligence to address the actual problems of life, to get freedom from materialistic entanglement and gain release from the perpetual cycle of birth and death. The great sages, great thinkers of India dedicated themselves to achieving this goal and explaining this science for the benefit of others. Now if someone is intelligent, he's taught to write code, and that's considered to be very good. You can write computer code for some American banking corporation, and that will be the success of your very good intelligence. Just like, who is that? Yeah, so if you could become the head of Microsoft or Wipro or one of those, then you must be very intelligent. But that's not the standard of intelligence according to Srimad Bhagavatam. The real intelligence is Krishna consciousness, or to understand factually, first of all, that I'm not this body, which in Kali Yuga is advanced education, because everyone is trained to think I'm Indian, I'm American, I'm white, I'm black, I'm Jones, I'm Smith, I'm Brahmin, I'm Kshatriya, I'm Vaishya, I'm Shudra, I'm Jones, I'm Smith, I'm Patel, I'm Subramanian, I'm this, I'm that. Everyone is thought, and then in relation to this body, these are my parents, these are my children, this is my wife, this is my husband, this is my cousin brother, this is my this is my that. Everything turns in the body. These are my friends, these are my enemies, this is my country, this is the enemy country. all of these things are taught as if it was true, which it's not. The delusion is propagated as fact, and the life of sense gratification is falsely advertised as a life of happiness. Rajasastu Palam Dukkha. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Krishna says that happiness that generated from the mode of passion ends up in suffering. Rajasastu Palam Dukkha. The result of happiness and passion is suffering. Satpat Sanjayate Gyan.
Knowledge
and actual happiness, as far as it's possible, come from the mode of goodness, not from the mode of passion. And again, it's in a self-pity. And from the mode of darkness just comes foolishness, ignorance. For the modern civilization considers itself advanced in modes of passion and ignorance. That means a civilization of cats and dogs, and a civilization of animals. And the Krishna Consciousness Movement is trying to save people from this animalistic darkness, despite the best efforts of universities, professors, and other leaders of the world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna says, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam, real education is spiritual education. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving that spiritual education through the Krishna Consciousness Movement, and those who are intelligent should take advantage of it. Okay. Are there some questions?
Questions? Speak loudly.
Maharaj, can spiritual life and modern education go hand in hand?
The spiritual life and modern education go hand in hand? Not very well, to tell you the truth. Because the modern education, first of all, modern education means you throw the men and the women together in the so-called schools and colleges. And for what? That's the first thing. Education doesn't mean boys and girls getting to know one another intimately. That's not education. That's cat and dog life. And that's, I mean, it's in American universities, half the reason a person goes to college is for that. If they choose the university in terms of what the social life is like. So where's the education? Brahmacharya Gurukula. Education means that it's for the brahmacharis. Where do you find a brahmachari in the modern university? It's almost like if you're a brahmachari, you're eligible to be thrown out of the university. And that's the first thing, that the whole environment is set up for passion, not for goodness. Set up for passion and ignorance. It's set up for cat and dog life from the beginning. Problem number one. Problem number two, what is the goal of the education? What's the goal? Ask them. Go to your professor, go to your university president, go to anyone, and ask them, what is the goal for which I'm being trained? And what will they say? What will they say?
Earn money and get a job.
They must have something more idealistic than that. What will they say?
earn money and get a job means so that I can have food and a place to stay. If the animals have that, we're not going to the university. The dog has food and a place to stay, and he doesn't have a university diploma. Why do I have to work so hard to get what a dog gets? Do they have some other statement of what the purpose of this education is? What's the goal?
To serve
the society in a different way. To perpetuate foolishness. What is that service? What is that different way?
Someone can be doctor,
someone can be lawyer, someone can be... There's already too many lawyers. There's a glut of doctors. Too many. And that's all rubbish anyway. The lawyer is not serving society. What young man actually goes to university thinking, I want to serve the society? And if he thinks that, then after the first few months, then turn his head around and say, okay, now you're talking about it. It's how I'll profit at the expense of society. How money will go from your pocket into my pocket. I'm not thinking how to fill my pocket so that I can distribute the contents to society. I'm thinking how money will come from society to me. This serves society in different ways is basically rubbish. And where's the society going that I'm serving? Now, if you're a scientist or an engineer, then chances are you wind up, I think 50-50, you wind up working for the Defense Department. In America, practically speaking, I don't know what the percentage is of the GNP. It goes for defense. Certainly the tax budget, half or more, goes for defense, which is a euphemism for aggression. It means we use our weapons and our military capability to project power into other regions to profit at their expense. So I'll serve my society at the expense of your society. How noble is that? I'll serve my country at the cost of your country. What else did I say? Any other? Yes?
Guruji, what is Dharma? What is Dharma?
No. What do the university professors say is the purpose of life? They don't say what is Dharma. They have no interest in Dharma. Artha, 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 artha. And the artha is good because kama, kama, kama. That's all. Do we have anything else that they say?
They say earn money and be happy. You will be happy.
But Americans earn more money than Indians, and the Americans aren't happy.
But Indians doesn't learn from the experience. So the Indians doesn't understand. Means our mindset is like that unless and until we go through the experience.
That's foolishness. Earn money so that you'll be happy. Does it mean that everyone who has money will be happy? Or that there's even a correlation, the more money, the more happiness? If that were true, then in America, everybody, because they have lots of money, generally speaking, plenty of money, compared to most countries of the world,
that America should be full of people with happy smiles on their faces and contentment in their lives. And instead, I have a student who works for Merck in America, a big pharmaceutical company, and the main thing they're working on is antidepressants, because 1 out of 5 Americans is clinically depressed, in spite of all the money. So that's foolishness. Plus, to get that money means you have to work like a dog. Why am I clinically depressed? Because my whole life is spent working hard for money. I have no other time. I'm so busy working, and it doesn't mean because I have a low-paying job. I get a high-paying job and they want more from me. They want your life. One of our devotee friends was saying that you get a job and then all of your friends are buying an apartment. So you also buy an apartment, now you have monthly payments. And now you're a slave, because your boss knows that you must be paying for an apartment, and therefore you can't afford to lose your job, for which 15 other people are ready to walk in and take your place. And so he can continue to pay you as little as possible, and to request you kindly that you please come on the weekend, you please stay a couple hours later, you please work this time, you please work that time. And please means you must do it, or your job is, I'll find someone who will do it. We heard that slavery was abolished years ago, decades ago, centuries ago. But practically everyone is a slave. And except that you go to university and learn to be a slave. You become an educated slave. And I don't know about here, but in America, to go to the university, first you take a student loan. And then you spend your first years and after university working hard to pay off the bank. So you start off as a slave to the bank, and so many years of that. And then working hard, making money means, someone did a calculation, how many days of the year you're working simply to pay the government. Because how much of your money is taken in tax? So if you figure 365 days, how many of those days are taken just to pay for tax? Or to pay taxes, to pay for transportation, to go back and forth to work. So much, what you come out with at the end, you might as well have stayed home and chanted Hare Krishna. Do they say anything else about the goal of life? In America, they have slogans like, trains you to realize your full potential, to be the most you can be, to have a life full of options, all of that. But what it finally comes down to, as one sutra is, kama upabhoga parama itavidati nischita. Kama upabhoga parama. What is parama? What is the ultimate goal? Kama upabhoga. To satisfy our senses, to enjoy sense gratification. This is as far as their determination goes, as far as their conclusive analysis arrives. And where's the space in that for understanding? So to be disabused of illusion, to be freed from illusion, to understand that I'm not who I am, to understand the actual purpose of life, or even to inquire, forget understand, even to inquire into the ultimate purpose of life. Where does that fit into the course schedule. It's excluded. It's not considered important. Not important. No economic benefit to it. If I understand who I am, if I understand that I'm not meant for living in this material world forever, if I understand that I'm being subjected to birth, death, disease, and old age, if I understand that there must be some process for spiritual realization, if I understand that by a bona fide process I can get out of material existence and free from birth and death, well, where's the economic advantage to all that? So we toss that out. Dharma to kama moksha. Dharma we toss out. Moksha we're not interested in. It's just artha and kama. This is the business. And therefore it's not a place of education. It's a place of increasing ignorance, sorry to say. Because it's devoid of Krishna consciousness, devoid of spiritual consciousness, devoid even of spiritual inquiry. And therefore it's worse than a useless waste of time. It's Maya's trick to deprive us of the opportunity that the human life is meant for. Because the higher human body, human life means that one gets the opportunity for higher intelligence. And then that intelligence is wasted. Where is money? For solving some engineering problem, medical problem, scientific problem, this problem, that problem, so that I can get money. In this way, one is educated to be as foolish as an ass. Does that answer the question? You had a question.
What is dharma?
What is dharma? What do you suppose? What is your understanding? No? You have no idea? Nothing. Which man?
Continuous serving,
yes. That's actually the dharma of the living being. Just as the dharma of chili is to be hot, the dharma of sugar is to be sweet, the dharma of water is to be wet, the dharma of the living being is to serve. It's an intrinsic quality that can't be taken away. But who do we serve? I serve my family, I serve my country, I serve my community, I serve my senses. As India becomes more advanced, you imitate the Westerners by keeping dogs, and then you can serve the dog. But actual service is meant for the Supreme, meant to be for the Supreme. So finally, dharma means to be engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Okay? Something else?
How can we increase or develop taste for renunciation of Prabhupada?
How can we increase
and develop taste for renunciation of Prabhupada?
And develop taste for reading Prabhupada's books. First of all, read them. You know, just like you develop a taste for samosas or kachoris or rasgulla or whatever by eating them, you know. You eat them, you get a more taste of galpuri or whatever appeals to you. You eat it, and the more you eat, the more you think this is nice. So, pivata bhagavatam asamavam. Bhagavatam itself recommends that don't read it, drink it. Pivata Bhagavatam. Drink Srimad Bhagavatam. Rasamala is full of nectar. And if we discuss with others, Satam Prasangat Mamavirya Sangha, if we read Srimad Bhagavatam
or in Srila Prabhupada's books, in the association of the devotees, then we get deeper realization of the content. Much chitta mankita prava bodhiyantakta vaspa. By discussing among one another, the realizations come out, meaning comes out. And another way is to inform others about the content of the books. Here you're all more or less accepting that these books are giving transcendental knowledge, that these books are valuable, that these books can give enlightenment in my life. But out there, they're missing these things. They're in ignorance. So when you share the content of the book with others, you realize more about the value of the book. It's like that with many things, you know, we have something valuable and we don't really realize the value to share it with someone who doesn't have it. And something else.
How we can serve best to the Krishna in this modern age?
Mm-hmm.
How we can serve Krishna best to the way? When there is so much illusion, is there
How can we serve Krishna best?
Best way.
Best way? You do this. You become Krishna conscious and spread it to others.
When there is so much illusion, is there?
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that it's the duty of everyone, especially born in India as a human being, to make his life successful and to spread this Krishna consciousness for the benefit of others.
There is so much bombardment, is there?
So what?
So how we should save
ourselves? It's like, you know, you're an Indian soldier and you go to the front lines to fight for the country. And then when you see that they're firing back, you want to go back home.
So?
You know, that doesn't stop you doing anything else. So if you want to earn money, you don't say, oh, I have to work, let me give up. If you want to get a girl, you don't say, oh, I have to buy her flowers, I have to buy her candy, let me forget it. Or I have to ask permission of your father, let me forget it. For anything else you want, you go through so much trouble. Anything else you want to achieve, you go through so much trouble. So why not go through, if you have to go through trouble anyway, why not go through the trouble for Krishna? Why go through the trouble for Maya? You're going to have to go through some difficulty no matter what. That's life. So why not accept the difficulty for Krishna's service instead of Maya's service? Okay.
What should be the state of mind while chanting?
What should be our state of mind while chanting Hare Krishna? Well, whatever it is. We approach it with whatever state of mind we have, and now we have to clean that. Our desire should be to purify our existence and to be engaged in the service of Krishna. We start wherever we are and try to make progress.
Practically, every morning we start our day by reciting the shlokas of Sri Chaitanya Sushtashtavam. In that it is mentioned that Trinada Pisumi Chaitanya. So it's very easy to say, but when I actually deal with the corporate world and outside in general in society, so that time it's...
Trinada Pisumi Chaitanya Trinada Pisumi Chaitanya, when you actually deal with the corporate world.
Or in general in society, so it's very difficult in that situation where other people try to criticize us or dominate us. So in that situation, how to...
In that context, Trinada Pisumi Chaitanya may not be the best policy.
I mean, does it apply only to devotees?
No. Of course, one should try to be a gentleman and to be humble and give all respect to others, even in corporate affairs. That's a good policy. A person who's polite, a person who's respectful to others, a person who takes others' interests into account. He'll be more successful in the world because he's not so short-sighted that he only sees his own interests and doesn't see the interests of others with whom he's doing business, whether they're customers or suppliers or competitors or shareholders. If he actually takes others into account, he'll be more successful in his business, because then people will say, I want to do business with this guy. I like his values. I like his, you know, he cares about me also. He doesn't just care about his own business, he cares about my business. He realizes I'm one of his suppliers. If I prosper, then he prospers. I'm his customer. If I'm happy, then the business will go nicely. So even from corporate wisdom point of view, if you're humble enough, even in your office, you need to be humble enough to see, well, here are other people. I'm not God's only gift to creation. Other people have intelligence, other people have ideas. So it's very good. But in competitive affairs, it's not that just you lie down and let everybody walk all over you and turn out a piece for each other. So in this connection, Prabhupada told a story about Narad Muni, who made a snake into a Vaishnava. There was some poisonous snake, and somehow by the influence of Narad Muni, he became a Vaishnava. And Narad Muni gave him this instruction, that now that you're a Vaishnava, don't bite anyone. Serpents are generally envious in nature, and they bite. But now that you've become a Vaishnava, don't bite anyone. Okay, so this is... Serpent was instructed by his Guru Maharaj. He took it to heart. But then the local people could understand the serpent has become a Vaishnava. He doesn't bite anyone anymore. So then the boys were throwing stones at him, and everyone was taking advantage of him. Then again, the snake met Narad Muni, and he submitted that, sir, this is the problem. So Narad said that, yes, I told you that you shouldn't bite, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't show your hooves as if you were going to bite. No. Chanakya also says that one, sometimes I think it's Chanakya, says that one should be cunning with the cunning. But a devotee, he has the best welfare of everyone in mind. He's not envious, but he knows that it's not even in your best interest for me to let you walk all over me. That doesn't really help you, and it certainly doesn't help me. So it's not that a Vaishnava is a fool. So many Yudhisthira Maharsh, it's not that he said, well, I'm the king, but let everybody else steal from the kingdom, take a piece of the kingdom. It's strong. For the sake of the kingdom, he fought against Bhishma and Krona. So, Vaishnava doesn't mean pushover. But nothing is for his sense gratification. It's for Krishna's service. Otherwise, anyapcha karmabandha will be entangled. Thank you.
Something else? Yes.
There are so many distractions.
What you are saying?
In this today's world, there are so many distractions in devotion.
Mm.
So my question is, how to maintain our brahmacharya in distractions?
How to remain brahmacharya? How to maintain brahmacharya? Drop out of school. If you're serious, then you may be able to maintain. One has to be brahmachari, one can get married, but not in between. Not boyfriend, girlfriend, all of that. But brahmacharis, just like here, so many brahmacharis, and they're, I think, all educated boys. Somehow they survived. So they can tell you their secrets. By spiritual knowledge, especially, and by getting a higher taste, so that one knows that what are these fools enjoying? They're, you know, the camel, how he gets a nice taste by eating thorny twigs. You know about that? The camel eats thorny twigs and he relishes a very nice taste. But what is the taste? The twigs are cutting his tongue and he's drinking his own blood. So he's a fool, isn't he, the camel? So these materialists, they think that they're enjoying happiness by sex life, and they're just drinking their own blood. And the more they enjoy, the more they suffer. Rajasastu Pulam Dukkha. The outcome, it's described elsewhere, that it's like nectar at the beginning and poison at the end. The thought occurred to me sometime during the course of today that someone, you know, gets married, beautiful young girl, you know, 24, and she's really looks good. You know, just add 40 years, and how does she look? Add 30 years, 20 years. You know, so it's like what you see is not what you get. It's like deception in advertising. It's like packaging, you know, where you buy a package of something, and the package is this big, and the contents is this big, right? You know, Chavantash or something, you know. And the actual content is this. So it's deceptive. One is supposed to think that such beautiful girls, so friendly, and they smile and they giggle. But the result is, if one takes the bait, so much trouble. Now you have to work hard to maintain me. Now you have to keep me happy. Now so many things. So by thoughtful reflection, by reading the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam, one can realize these things. And by chanting Hare Krishna, one gets a superior taste that what will Maya offer me? What will the material world offer me? Why should I go for it? If brahmacharya life is too troublesome, one can get married. Let's go for that in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness. married life, but the life of just enjoying without responsibility will cause more trouble, to bring oneself more trouble. Okay. Maya means illusion. Illusion means it seems to be one thing, but it's really something else. It seems to be a rope, but it's really a snake. The world of false appearances. Something else? One time, one of my godbrothers came to, I was serving Srila Prabhupada as an assistant, and one of my godbrothers came to see Srila Prabhupada, senior godbrother actually. This was way back. I was like 19 or something, just starting. And after the godbrother left, then I came to know from Prabhupada that the subject was that this devotee was interested in getting married. He probably gave his blessings, I guess. Then he said, "So, Jayadwait, you would also like to get married?" I said, "No, Srila Prabhupada, there's so much trouble." Prabhupada said, "Oh, you're chanting Hare Krishna and feeling happy. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna and feeling happy, then you don't need to get married." That's what I took away from it. Something else? About
alcohol.
It's very good for cleaning cuts and abrasions and things like that, sterilizing things. Yeah.
People say
it
does. Doing social drinking or drinking little, people say doing social drinking or drinking little bit a day gives you a little good feeling, euphoric feeling. It is not bad. You can have nobody get addicted.
This is the degradation of modern India. That they've accepted these principles of degradation as normal life. Actually, it's degradation. Striya Shuna, what is that? Dutam Pan Striya Sunya Yatra Tarama Chaturdika. Where there's intoxication, illicit sex, meat eating, and gambling, all atarma would be there. Previously, people were not so degraded. This is also another result of your education. You go to the university and you associate with people who say social drinking. I was at Oxford, and you know, it's just like taken as a given that the students are going to drink together, and there's no instruction that this drinking is actually degradation. Well, as long as you don't drive, then it's fine. But alcohol means dulling the mind, dulling the senses, contaminating the mind. Now let me just do it a little. Social drinking. Why don't you drink Srimad Bhagavatam socially? Pibata Bhagavatam Masavali. If you want to drink, drink Srimad Bhagavatam. That used to be Indian civilization. In the evenings, people would get together after working hard during the day, and they would hear Mahabharata, Ramayana, Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha. And they would become enlightened and they would enjoy. That was their social event. Prabhupada mentioned that even, you know, when he was writing, 50 years before was now means like 80 years or more, 90, almost 100 years before. Whenever there was a function, it would be some opportunity for Krishna Katha, some kirtan. No function would be devoid of these things. It might be a marriage, might be a graduation, might be anything. On some particular day, it would be an opportunity for Krishna Katha and Sankirtan. And people would gather and then at home at night they go back home and they're thinking of Krishna. Now, social drinking. The wedding is not worth having unless there's good liquor and abominable things to eat. It means people have become degraded. People have become degraded. They have no better idea. Social life means people coming together. So then when you get together, what do? You drink. You watch television. You go to a movie. Or you go hunting for the, you know, girls. Or, and that's social, or worse, social media. You get together and wasting time and energy. What's, you know, it's social. But it's social degradation. Joint maya. Again, kamo papoga padama, because they have no higher goal in life than joy, sense gratification. That's all they know. And pivata bhagavatam, to relish Srimad Bhagavatam, or to get together socially for spiritual realization. That's, oh, I see. You're like that. Okay. Write you off. That's success. And this other thing is just degradation. And for, you know, for a Westerner to see Indian, young Indian men aping Western ways, it is pitiable and ludicrous at the same time. There's some sharp young Indian guy who's got his dark glasses and his tight jeans and he's holding up, you know, glass or something, and he's cutting the profile. And it's like, you know, you jerk. I just saw a big poster, I think it's near Chopati, maybe we're driving a lot the last couple of days, there's some big poster of some, I forget what it was, but it showed this like sophisticated guy, Indian guy, you know, all suited up Western, and he's got a comfortable chair, and I think it had something to do with investments, you know, so he's like really together, and he's got a glass of something in his hand, and he's like the new Indian, you know. Prabhupada said, new crow. You know the purport, new crow? The crows, you take your meal and you throw the plate. Of course, now everything's plastic, so you don't throw it. But in the more ecological days, you'd throw your leaf plate and the crows would come. Balanced arrangement. And when the crows fly away, the new crows come and they pick at what's left. So all of these things, the liquor, the illicit sex, the meat eating, it's all been picked over by the old crows. And now the Indians are the new crows and they come and enjoy. Puna Puna's charm, chewing the church. We've already done these things and it's proven a failure. And now India is becoming advanced in the same things. and then you don't. Then you lose your what's actually valuable, and you throw it away for what's already proven a failure elsewhere in the world. But we're advertising. Oh, it's happy. It's great. This is my. And not, of course, only to the Indians, but throughout the world, America and Europe and everywhere. Come on, enjoy. Come on, enjoy. We see posters full of smiling people. But then if you look away from the posters and look at the real people, they're not smiling. Unless they're drunk. Does that answer your question?
How to help them spiritually? How to help them spiritually?
Offer to buy them a lassi. Social drinking. Of course, the lassi should be offered to Krishna, but you. How to help them? Give them a book. These books are so valuable. They're full of transcendental knowledge, and if people even touch them, they'll get benefit. What to speak of reading them. Invite them to come for programs like this. Give them books. Tell them about Krishna consciousness. Somehow or other, try to attract them. While I'm thinking of it, that you're not a social drinker puts you above the crowd, even in the materialistic estimation. And every fool can drink. But when they see that you're a person of principle, no, I don't drink. Why not? It's against my spiritual principles. You just went up a notch, actually. To drink doesn't take anything. Any dog can drink. Any dog-like person can uncork a bottle of something and drink. That doesn't show that it doesn't reflect, it doesn't say, wow, look how special he is. He drinks beer. It's nothing. Any damn rascal can drink. But if you're a person of principle, then they think that they're becoming like sophisticated by eating non-veg, as they like to call it, which means meat. They're not becoming sophisticated. Any dog can and does eat non-veg. Every vulture eats non-veg. Every crow eats non-veg. What is that? But if you say no, I'm sorry, it's against my principles. I have one friend who's had a position in a high post in South Africa in their energy department. And he would regularly go for different conferences or meetings or negotiations. And for one such occasion, he happened to go to Saudi Arabia. And there he and his colleagues were hosted by princes from the royal family. And the prince who was hosting the meeting were hosting the dinner saw that this one person is not eating. So then he said, you know, why are you not eating? He said, well, I'm a vegetarian. So then the prince was actually very interested. You know, why are you a vegetarian? It became a whole opportunity to talk about Krishna consciousness. And then the prince was very interested. Didn't matter that he was Muslim, that he was Saudi. He was interested in the subject matter. And then the next day, he'd hired a Brahmin cook, and he had all vegetarian items for the student. In other words, he didn't think, oh gosh, what's wrong with this guy? Prabhupada told another story that I guess it was during, I forget who was in charge, whether it was the British or the Muslims, I forget exactly how the story was. But anyway, the Hindus were working under whoever it was, this British or this Muslim fellow. Maybe it was under the, you know, the Nawabs. No, it was later than that. Anyway. So then the boss told the workers that, or the, you know, people in the workers' means office men and so on, now from tomorrow I don't want to see this tilak. You know, some years ago everyone's there. From tomorrow I don't want to see this tilak anymore. No tilak, or you're fired. So then the next day, everybody showed up without tilak, except one man. Then the boss said, now from today, everyone except this man, no tilak. Because he's stuck by his guns. He's stuck to his principles. The rest of you guys, if I just say, mm-mm, then you go, oh. This man's stuck to his principles, so he's entitled, the rest of you, no tilak. So if you have principles, I have a friend who signs, you know, you have these email slogans at the end of your signature. His slogan is, if you don't stand for anything, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. But if you don't stand for the principles of Krishna consciousness, then you'll fall for mine. And if you stand for Krishna consciousness, then other people will gradually see him. He's different. Everybody's trying to be different, you know, by cutting their jeans or by, you know, whatever it is. And then you get 7,400,362 people who are all going to the same store and buying the same stuff to be different. So you can actually be different. Be Krishna conscious, you know, Manusyanam Sahasrishu. Out of thousands and thousands of men, maybe one is interested in spiritual realization. That's actually different. In Kali Yuga, to be a human being makes you different. Is that okay? Yeah, I interrupted you. Come on.
Before coming to Krishna consciousness, we had some bad habits. And after coming, that habits give us so much trouble.
After coming what?
Bad experience.
Hmm?
So we had some fast
taste. We have so many bad habits before coming to Krishna consciousness. Then?
After coming to Krishna consciousness, that experience gives us so much trouble.
That experience gives us so much trouble, past some scars. Yeah. Therefore, Chaito Darpana Margin. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj told his friends, from 5 years of age, take this api. But if we didn't meet Prahlad Maharaj at 5, then better late than never. And those things will be there, since anyway, millions of births, these impressions are there. But the holy name is stronger than anything. faith without the knowledge. Is that okay? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.